Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The narrative feature, Fort Tilden, will screen twice at the Berkshire International Film Festival this weekend, tomorrow at 9 p.m. at the Triplex in Great Barrington and Saturday at 2 p.m. at the Beacon in Pittsfield. The film is a full-length feature debut co-written and co-directed by Sarah Violet Bliss and Charles Rogers. In the film, Allie and Harper are friends and roommates in their mid-20s in Brooklyn, New York. The two are dealing with, or barely dealing with, the torpor of a quarter-life crisis, and they're not quite coming of age just yet, as they rely on unrealistic dreams and parental rent and incidental checks to survive. The two are looking for a carefree day at Fort Tilden Beach, but on their way, they quickly realize that, akin to their confusing transitioning lives, they neither know where they're going nor how they plan to get there.
Harper, there's no ferries, and there's nobody passing out flyers for the Rockaways on the weekdays. It's kind of a lot to figure out.
Let's bike.
Oh, that actually sounds really nice. We could see parts of Brooklyn that we've never seen before. That's a really good idea. Let's do it.
Co-writer and co-director of Fort Tilden, Sarah Violet Bliss, joins us now. Sarah Violet Bliss, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you.
How did you meet and decide to co-write and co-direct a film with Charles Rogers?
Well, Charles and I went to NYU grad film school together, and we had been friends for, I guess it was about 4 years at that point through the program. And last summer, we were just kicking around some ideas for a web series because we were really eager to do something over the summer, and a web series seemed like that would be something that we could manage and that would be fun. And we hadn't really considered collaborating together before, but we were literally just sitting and talking about some ideas. And then as we were talking about this web series, one of the episodes that we thought of was about these two girls who try to go to Fort Tilden Beach. And as we were talking about it, we just kept having more and more ideas about what could happen to them on the way, and thought it was really funny. And when we were, thinking about these characters and the scenario. And so that day we really committed to it and decided that we were going to, as we were talking about those girls, we thought, what this could make a really good feature. And so instead of making the web series idea, we dropped all the other episodes and just made that storyline into a feature film and made it by the end of the summer.
And the girls you're talking about, where did their characters, their traits, their storylines come from? How did you work together on creating these two girls?
Yeah, so we kind of like to say that they're the best hits of a mixture of our friends and ourselves. When we originally thought of the idea, we were just thinking, a couple of girls who were kind of not so great at doing things that should be easy to do, and even though they have all the resources they need in order to do them. And as we were writing them, you start to go deeper into them and draw on who you know and who you are and give them more depth. They're embellished versions of like people that we see every day.
Fort Tilden did not look to me like a movie that would be easy to film. You have the characters biking around Brooklyn. You have to shoot people in the water once they finally do reach the beach.
Yeah.
Were those scenes surprisingly challenging to film, or were you ready for those to be sort of a difficult process to get the way you wanted?
Some of those scenes were, they varied. Most of them I thought they were going to be a lot harder than they were, particularly the biking stuff. And then there was one scene on Flatbush that I was just like, I just don't know how we're gonna film this. And then on the day it was a lot easier than I had built up in my head. And then the water scenes were a lot harder than I had anticipated. I knew that we would need a lot of time, but it just takes so much time in the underwater housing that you have to put on the camera. When you need to cut, you have to come out of the water and take it out of the case and watch a take and make sure everything was okay, because you can't really see what's happening on the monitor very well. Like, the only person who can see is the director of photography, and he can't even see that well because he's managing so many things at once. So the water scenes all took one really long, very cold, cold, cold day. I also wasn't expecting for it to be that cold. I don't know why. I just because I had high hopes that it would be like, oh, it'll be summer and hot and it'll be nice to be in the water, but it was very cold.
Yeah, it's still the ocean on the East Coast.
it's not that warm bath that you get when you're in, you know, the Bahamas.
Were there other things that were surprisingly challenging as you made your first full-length feature?
Well, there's certainly lots of challenges. I wasn't really surprised by the challenges. Mm-hmm. I guess the hardest part is how exhausted you are, just because, you know, you're waking up at 5 a.m. every day and working 12 to 14 hours a day, and we were doing so much of everything all at once. You know, we were writing up until we were shooting and even through shooting because we didn't know if we were going to get certain locations, and had to rewrite some stuff as we were going and cast as we were going, and because we put ourselves in this position where we had very little time to do stuff, it was both good and bad because that forced us to get stuff done, but at the same time you wanted to have more time to do all those things that you need to do when you're making a feature, and you just don't have time to not make a decision, you know, you have to make a decision right away. I don't know, it was actually a great learning at the time. It was extremely stressful, and you know, there's just so much stress. That's the hardest part of it, but at the same time you're getting all this stuff done, and when you don't have time to be too precious about things, then you really just make the right decision, because there is no wrong decision. You just have to go with it.
Right. There appears to be, in the cast and crew, a fairly strong connection to the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in New York City. Where does that start?
Well, Charles and I are both really in tune with, you know, a lot of actors in New York, and Upright Citizens Brigade has always been a place that I've looked to when I've been casting, because they have just amazing talent who perform consistently. So, you know, they're always in practice, you know, so and they're just so great and kind of undiscovered. And so I go to Upright Citizens Brigade a lot, particularly when I'm casting. And then Charles also is a regular performer at the Magnet Theater, and he does improv. And so he's familiar with a lot of comedy people, and I'm familiar with a lot of comedy people and actors from my undergrad experience as a theater major. And so we both are drawn to Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. And when we were looking, we went there, and we also looked at them at Actors Online. And a lot of the people that we cast, we actually know pretty well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a mixture of people who we already knew, some people who we didn't know personally but knew we've always wanted to work with, and then some people who we didn't know but we found and discovered, and then we had a casting director help us with a few parts to get in touch with actors that were a little bit harder to just approach because they have slightly bigger names.
I was as excited, if not more excited, as the characters in the film to see Reggie Watts ride by on a bicycle.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Yes, he really is.
The film has excellent music in it. Who worked on that?
Thank you. We had a great music supervisor. Her name is Chloe Rains, and we always knew that we wanted to have kind of young, hip, fun Brooklyn music.
Yeah.
So we had never considered scoring the film. We always wanted to have, you know, fun bands. So when I was editing the film, I put in some songs that would be close to what we wanted, and she helped us find replacement songs that, you know, and some of those songs that I put in, like, I loved the tone, but they were older songs that are great, but just not exactly, you know, have the fresh feel that I'm looking for. And then a couple of the artists in there are friends of mine. Gordon Voidwell, he's an amazing, amazing musician and a wonderful guy. And I was so pleased that he let us use his song. My other friend, Hill Yeager, also also a wonderful musician and wonderful person. I went to her, and it's great to, you know artists and call on them when the time is needed.
This is, of course, not the first time in film or television that there have been stories about Brooklyn or about people coming of age in their 20s. Mm-hmm. But you are, of course, in the sort of shadow of the HBO series Girls, the phenomenon mm-hmm. that is that show. Do you think that helps or hurts your movie, or will, as it goes out there?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it's kind of both. I mean, there's not one article that doesn't mention Girls in it, but at the same time, and that's fine. I think Girls is a great show, and I think we're also doing something different from Girls. And it's interesting of the way people bring it up, because what's so interesting about it is that people will come up to me and be like, I don't think it's anything like Girls, but you have mentioned Girls.
Right, you still mentioned it.
So it's funny that, you know, it's certainly a similar backdrop, and, you know, it's young women in their 20s in Brooklyn, and how can it not be compared to, you know, the show that is the most talked about show on television right now? And, you know, it's pretty cool to have something that I'm working on being compared to that, and have that inform the, I don't know if this is really right, but inform the zeitgeist in a way, you know, that it's a part of something.
If it helps, I don't think Fort Tilden is anything like Game of Thrones or True Detective.
Exactly. It's not at all.
It took home the Grand Jury Award at the South by Southwest Film Festival this year. What did that mean to you guys?
Oh, my God. It was amazing. I mean, it's funny, because when I don't want to be, like, so cliche, but it really was just an honor to be nominated and to, like, have our film get into South by Southwest to begin with. And I hadn't even thought about the fact that we could possibly win. You know, it was just so, like, thrilling to be at South by Southwest, and then winning was just like beyond a dream come true, you know. So it was a fantastic moment that I'm really, really grateful for.
Fort Tilden had its New York City premiere at the inaugural Vulture Festival,
yes,
presented by New York Magazine's Vulture wing, as it were. How did that go? Was it great to be home?
Yeah, it was a really good turnout. We had great questions, and it was really fun to show it in New York. And we got more laughs with the Reggie Watts appearance than any other screening, because I think New Yorkers know that Reggie Watts is an iconic figure that kind of roams the streets, and you see him from afar because he's so recognizable, mm-hmm, particularly in Williamsburg. When we were writing, we were at a cafe, and he was sitting next to us, and we were like, oh, gosh, we always see Reggie Watts. We should get him to be in our movie.
Sarah Violet Bliss, thank you so much for joining me, and have a great time at the Berkshire International Film Festival.
Thank you so much.
Sarah Violet Bliss is the co-writer and director of Fort Tilden. The film will screen twice at the Berkshire International Film Festival this weekend. For more information, visit BIFMA.org, BIFFMA.ORG, or WAMC.org/roundtable.
This is tediously adorable.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.